Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And Sydney, it is such an exciting time in the nation. There's just so much happening.
I wouldn't say exciting.
Exciting. I'm trying to think of a word that's like exciting, but doesn't have any of the positivity. You know, wild.
Alarming.
Alarming. That's a good one.
Yeah. Terrifying.
Well, I'm not terrified. You know?
Disturbing.
Terrifying. I try not to give in to fear, right? I don't want to be afraid.
Well, I don't want to give... I don't either, Justin. And I hope that... I don't know if this... When you realize... when you realize that the things that are happening have happened before and the human race is still here, does that bring you comfort or another more negative emotion than comfort, would you say?
I have a feeling I'm about to find out, Sydney, if I am in any way equivocal on this question.
I want to talk to you about the health freedom movement or the medical freedom movement. I think both of those terms are used sort of interchangeably.
Yeah. We've been talking about them for a long time. It's interesting they got branding now, right?
Well, and it's not new. It's not a new concept. It's been around for a really long time. I would say that it's been galvanized more recently. And I think specifically by RFK Jr. When I say this, you're going to assume that I'm going to talk about RFK, and I am going to talk about RFK Jr., but not just RFK Jr., because he did not create this idea. And the idea behind the health freedom movement is that we should, it's kind of a libertarian view of health and medicine. We should be free to engage with the healthcare that we choose. We should have autonomy over our bodies. We should have choice.
Right.
On the surface, those are not bad. I mean, not only are they not bad ideas, autonomy is one of our core medical ethics.
Of course.
I believe very firmly in the autonomy of my patient to choose whether it's the thing I'm recommending that I think is the best idea or something that I think is a really bad idea. It's their choice.
Yes.
And that is an important part of practicing medicine. But that's not... When you say the health freedom movement, when you talk about people who are health freedom advocates, it's not just that. So I think it's worth diving into. Where did this come from? Where did it start? How did we get here?
Yes.
Right? And so before we jump into the history, I do think it's important that we talk a little bit about RFK Jr. specifically at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Because fairly recently, less so when you're listening to this, but fairly recently as we're recording it, RFK Jr. made some pretty inaccurate and disturbing and harmful comments about autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah.
You think that's fair to say?
Yeah, I think that is fair to say, Sydney.
Autism spectrum disorder has consistently been shown to be linked to genetic markers, to be a genetic condition.
Right.
It has been studied for decades. Mm-hmm. We have no evidence that it is triggered by any sort of environmental factor, any sort of toxin, so to speak, that exists around us. To compare it to lung cancer and smoking, which is the comparison that RFK Jr. made, the idea that not everybody who smokes gets lung cancer, so there must be something genetically about you that predisposes you to lung cancer, and then the environmental trigger is smoking.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Right. It's a terrible comparison. It's wildly inaccurate. We know that lung cancer has consistently been shown to be one of the most preventable causes of death in the United States because it is so linked to smoking. Yes, this is true. That is not the same there is no environmental trigger like that for autism spectrum disorder. It's apples and oranges. No, because they're both fruits. It's completely, it's apples and bacon. It's, yeah. They're completely erroneous to compare. And I think that the comments that he made not only were dangerous and misleading, I think that it showed a profound lack of knowledge about
a true either autism. Ignorance. I mean, ignorance has, I mean, ignorance or weaponized ignorance. I guess there's not a meaningful distinction between the two, but it is a truly staggering jump. And that's interesting because it feels like if you were trying to shift the public dialogue, you wouldn't say something so wildly out of pocket. But it doesn't seem, he doesn't seem to really think about what he's saying as he's saying it, but we can't really expect him to think about it before.
Well, and I don't know that I don't know what he's talking about to make a blanket statement that all people with autism spectrum disorder will never play baseball, write a poem, go to the bathroom unassisted. I mean, it shows a complete lack of knowledge about the range of supportive services that some people with autism spectrum disorder need and many people do not need. And yeah. the various abilities of people along that spectrum. I mean, that is a complete lack of knowledge mm-hmm. about autism spectrum disorder. Also, even if that was accurate, humans have intrinsic value whether or not they play baseball.
Or earn taxes.
Yes, or need supportive services to help them perform more complicated tasks or activities of daily living. They still have intrinsic value. And I think that the fact that the first thing he said was people with autism spectrum disorder will never pay taxes, I feel like that gives it all away, right?
Right. I mean, that's the thing, right? That's the whole. That's the bit. How much more wealth can the mega rich squeeze out of the classes that are underneath them? Like, how much more can they squeeze out?
This is not, I would, this is me just, this is my, me theorizing. I have no knowledge of the inner workings of RFK Jr.'s worm-ridden brain, but I would imagine that this is how he sees people with autism spectrum disorder and maybe humans as a whole as pieces of the machine that creates wealth.
Yes.
And can have a job and
the
pay
generational
taxes.
Wealth that he has enjoyed for his entire existence.
Right. He's not concerned.
He's never
with,
known anything else.
With the health and the well-being of you or your family or anybody with autism spectrum disorder. He's concerned with the health and well-being of capitalism.
Right.
That continues to line his pockets.
Right. It is an evil administration, and he is an evil person who is poisoning poison the minds of people in this country against people with autism.
And from a scientific perspective, the only reason you would make a claim like we've never found any evidence of an environmental trigger ever, ever, but we're going to find one and it's going to happen by September. The only reason you would feel comfortable standing on stage and making that sort of claim is if you've already decided what you want that environmental trigger to be. And you are going to ensure that you create enough fake information, fake research, or anecdotal whatever to back up your false claim. It's going to be vaccines. It's going to be food dyes. It's going to be something about processed foods. I don't know. Maybe it's pasteurization of milk. It's going to be something like they already know.
They don't have the guts to ban vaccines because they know. Right. That's what people need to remember. Right. People who are arguing against vaccines or arguing against that they are environmental triggers. The people at the very top of that know better. They know the difference. They are yes. trying to make money and build influence and power. The people at the upper echelons of this, they know better. They know it's nonsense. They know vaccines save lives. They know it. They care more about power and money. And the sooner people, I've seen friends have trouble accepting that. Accept it. It's a bad place right now. We're the bad guys. We're like, you have to get ready for that.
And this is a movement that spans politics. When we're talking about the anti-vax movement, the health freedom movement, this is a problem that really goes to both extremes of the political spectrum because you find this sort of nonsense, fear-mongering rhetoric on both the far left anti-vax segment and the far right anti-vax segment. Anyway, we've talked about the anti-vax movement And that goes back to the invention of vaccines. As soon as we came out with a smallpox vaccine and said, hey, we should probably all get this, there were people saying, no, my body, my choice, I don't want to. Which is always an interesting phrase, depending on who, which group is using it. Let's talk about the bigger movement, not just vaccines, but the bigger context in which, you know, fighting science exists. So it's 1958, and you hate communism.
Okay.
Are
I don't agree with that. Yes, okay.
Are you in that mindset? Yes, it's 1958. You hate communism. You hear about a meeting in Indianapolis on December 9th. There's going to be 12 people there who also hate communism.
How many?
12.
Oof.
I know. Oh. You don't like to be around a lot of people.
Oh, man. I don't know. 4 is worse, though. I mean, I don't think there's any number that of people that I'd love. At least if you said 300, I could sneak in and sneak out without anybody noticing. But sorry, go ahead. This is not me. It's a fake me.
This is a fake you, and you hate communism.
I hate communism more than I hate talking.
And so you really...
in a loud room.
And really, this group hates any sort of, like, collective action. They want less government, more responsibility, and a better world. But that doesn't sound too bad. So you go. The guy in charge is named Robert W. Welch Jr. He was a Harvard dropout from North Carolina, and he'd made it big in the candy business.
Mm.
So his Oxford Candy Company, before it was eventually, it was bought by his brothers and so changed names and everything over time. But his company made Sugar Daddies.
Oh.
And eventually, after it became part of his brother's company, they also made Junior Mints.
Mm.
Yes.
So those are, who owns those now? I feel like they all got, this Tootsie Roll owns all those now. Yeah, Sugar Daddy.
But that is where they came from. This was a candy business magnate who retired so that he could fight communism full time, because the only thing he loved more than candy was fighting communism.
Interesting other side note that has nothing to do with this. The original name of the Sugar Daddy was called the Papa Sucker.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Worse. Ooh. Worse than Sugar Daddy.
Don't like it.
So, and I do feel complicit in this because I love Junior Mints, let me just say. So yeah. Now I feel bad about that. So Bob had always been worried about communism, and he had long suspected, even while he was making Junior Mints, that it's bigger than that.
Mm.
It's bigger than the Red Scare.
Okay.
Underneath this communism thing that is the new flavor of control, there's a bigger coordinated effort that is trying to suppress freedom, and specifically American freedom. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. These were America First guys. They're really just worried about America. And they're not just that, but they're trying to, like, fight American superiority, which we know exists, but they're trying to stop it. It's kind of a shadow effort, shadow government. But it's deep undercover.
Super deep.
Like a deep state that exists that controls everything.
Okay.
Horrible and communism is just the latest front, right? And he knows this.
He sees the whole thing.
Yeah, Bob sees the whole picture. Probably the Illuminati is involved.
This is sounding so much like most episodes of Curse of Oak Island, honestly. We know something bigger's going on. Probably the Illuminati's involved.
Probably the Rockefellers.
I don't know if Bob Welch ever found any like pieces of eight or any like, you know, railroad spikes, any other sort of clues.
I looked it up. I was like, so he's blaming the Rockefellers and the Illuminati. I gotta know. George Soros must not be a millionaire yet. And that is accurate. At this point in history, Soros was not yet a millionaire. So we couldn't blame him yet. Yeah. We couldn't say he was paying for all of it because he wasn't a millionaire yet. So from this meeting of 12 people who get together and agree that there's a bigger thing at play here, there's something secret, and there needs to be like the last frontier fighting for America, fighting for freedom, forming in this room. And so you form a new society. You love freedom. You hate communism. You think even Dwight Eisenhower himself is a secret commie. You figured this out, right? You love McCarthy. You want the free market to be freer. You need a name. And you've heard about this guy named John Birch. Now, okay. John Birch was an American missionary to China. He was a fundamentalist Baptist. And he was also a member of the U.S. military. He was killed by communist soldiers in 1945. Mm. And some people kind of saw him as like a martyr to the cause. And was referred to at times as the first casualty of the Cold War. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can read all about John Birch's life if you want. That's not that he's been more mythologized by the society that bears his name than I think maybe even his true story was. So anyway, the John Birch Society is born. And outside of politics, the society saw a lot of communists out there, okay? Mm-hmm. The civil rights movement, they felt, was probably based out of the Kremlin. The Kremlin got that going. You know Martin Luther King Jr. was, you know, they blamed right. that he was a communist. They absolutely. So was Mr. Rogers, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They felt very strongly Mr. Rogers was a commie, which probably there were other, like, McCarthy heads who thought the same thing, right?
Right.
It was the time where he, like, puts his feet in the pool with the police officer who's black or the mailman who's black. Who is it? Right. It's a... But it was a big moment because there's a man and a black man putting their feet in the pool together.
Yes, yes.
And it was a big deal, right? So, obviously, Mr. Rogers is a communist. But they were also worried about, like, what is
Officer Clemens, a black officer on the show.
I thought it was a police officer. Yeah. But they're also worried about what is big government doing to our bodies, to our health? How are they, I mean, because the deep state can do anything, right? They mm-hmm. have, their reach is endless and their powers, you know,
yeah.
beyond measure. So what could they be doing to control us? Well, an obvious effort is fluoride in the water. So the Birchers, which the John Birch Society members were often called the Birchers were very concerned about the secret mind control agent that the federal government was putting in our water, fluoride, to try to make us all, you know, communist puppets of the communist government. Mm-hmm. This is really where, as far as I can tell, I'm sure there were people voicing this concern prior to the Birchers, but the Birchers really started to popularize that anti-fluoride movement,
yeah.
which is also something that RFK Jr. has questioned before as well.
Yes.
And if all of this feels familiar, I mean, I understand. The Birchers were very much, as I said, America First types.
Right.
They talked a lot about how America has worried too long about the traitors without, and they need to focus on the traitors within, meaning ideological traitors within the United States, people who are not, they don't have the right minds
right.
that Americans should have. And we need to start dealing with those people however we feel is necessary. And they really liked Barry Goldwater. Because he said, I mean, they were part of the Republican Party. They were part of the right. The right. Birchers fit into, on the political spectrum, they were definitely the far right of the time. And they liked Barry Goldwater because there was a big, at the GOP convention, there was kind of a discrepancy between the standard, like, conservative GOPs of the time and the Barry Goldwater fans who were like, maybe it's time for something more radical.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe... As Barry Goldwater said, extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
Mm.
So again, if all of this kind of feels like MAGA
yeah.
part one,
yeah.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
This was the MAGA movement of, you know, we're really dealing with like the late 50s into the 60s. This is the Birchers began to grow and they really started to split the conservative party, like the conservative side, in two. And when I say split in two, I don't mean an equal halves. This was an extremist group. They were definitely pulling people farther to the right. But they very much sort of solidified in the American mind the idea that there are deeper things at play, that the government does things to us to try to control us, and that it's all part of a big plot. And we can't see it, maybe, but the Birchers can see it.
Yeah, they can.
And so the Birchers can stop it. So how did that get us to RFK? Well, I'm going to tell you, Justin, and our listeners.
Yes.
But first, we've got to go to the billing department.
Oh, let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. You know, it's tempting to say, I'm going to start on the big new thing. You know, when the new year comes, I'm going to get it all figured out. Here's what I want to tell you. There's never been a better time to start your dream than right this second. And there's never been a better way to start than with Squarespace. We've been telling you about Squarespace for years, and that's because it's simply the best way to make a website. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that, folks. People have been using Squarespace to make incredible professional-looking websites. And they look professional because the templates they're using, they are made by real web designers. So they're making, like, building blocks that are going to look great. You just bring your stuff, your images, your things you want to sell, any of that, and Squarespace is going to help you make a great platform for it. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. We were going through our Christmas gift list over here at the McElroy household, and there were at least two folks this year that are getting Aura frames. Now, I can't tell you who because I don't want to spoil the surprise, but it is really hard to find gifts for people that you really care about and make it feel like personal, you know? But Aura is a really great way of doing that. It's a great digital photo frame. It is named the number one, actually, by Wirecutter, the strategist, Wired. We could go on. It's a really lovely gift to give to somebody, maybe even if they're not like super tech savvy. You can set this photo frame up ahead of time. And then once it's there in their home, if you are out and about and you capture a memory you want to share, you can use the Aura app to just send it like directly to that frame. So like you're making the memories and you're sharing the memories like within minutes. Can you imagine? That's a lovely gift for somebody that you care about. They're going to be able to keep up with your life. And hey, if you've gotten them one before, maybe in another room. Maybe they could have a themed room. You know, in this room, I only want pictures of Justin. What a room that would be. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code Sawbones at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Sawbones. This deal is exclusive to listeners, and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Greetings, I am John Hodgman, co-host and co-creator of the Judge John Hodgman podcast, along with Jesse Thorne here on the Maximum Fun Network. And I am here with Max Fun Member of the Month, Keith, who's been a Maximum Fun member since when, Keith?
Oh, at least 3 or 4 years now. I don't recall exactly when I fell prey to the pledge drive, but it got a hold of me and I've yet to relent.
Oh, and we shall not ever let go. Now, you join us telephonically from a different country from ours, which is which?
I moved to Vera, Portugal back in August of this year.
I hear evening birds chirping behind you. And what are the names of those birds?
We do have quite a few spoonbills and quite a few flamingos as well.
So what would you say to the birds around you and the people listening who are considering supporting the show?
You know, it's just nice to have a little bit of investment in the things that I love. Knowing that I'm making sure that those podcasts are still being created makes me feel good.
We're so pleased to have you be our Maximum Fun Member of the Month. Thank you very much, Keith, in Portugal. This month's Maximum Fun Member of the Month.
Obrigado.
Become a Max Fun member now at MaximumFun.org/join.
I'm Emily Fleming.
I'm Jordan Morris.
And I'm Matt Lee.
We are real comedy writers.
Real friends.
And real cheapskates.
On every episode of our podcast, Free With Ads, we ask, why pay for expensive streaming services when you can get free movies from apps with weird names?
Each week, we review the freest movies the internet has to offer. Classics like Pride and Prejudice.
Cult classics like Point Break.
And holy sh**. What did I just watch? Classics like Teen Witch.
Tune in every week as we take a deep dive into the internet's bargain bin.
Every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org or your favorite pod place.
All right. We're about to connect this to the modern days.
Yeah. Now, I will say this isn't a direct genetic line because Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, so not RFK Jr., but RFK, called the John Birch Society ridiculous and that people should stop paying so much attention to it, by the way, which I think is very interesting. Mm-hmm. So RFK Jr. and his dad would not agree about the Birchers. But they wouldn't be stopped. Now, here's the thing. There is this peak where they claimed up to 100,000 members as we move into the 70s. And then you kind of get this sort of narrative that develops that, like, the mainstream conservatives shut it down. They said, this is tearing our party apart. This is not who we are. These people are way out there, and we are going to demean them and distance ourselves from them to reclaim the Republican Party. But if you really look into what happened, the GOP just kind of absorbed the most popular beliefs from the Birchers, anti-immigration and isolationism and this idea of pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and personal responsibility, and that we don't need big government to take care of us or look out for us or help us out when we're having a hard day. We need to learn how to do it for ourselves. All of that was, those were Bircher ideals that sort of the new conservative movement that was forming began to adopt. Mm-hmm. And along with that came concerns about things like mandates to have fluoride in your water, mandates to get a vaccine
concerns
if you didn't want
quotes,
to.
We should say.
Right.
I mean, right. It's
exactly.
Not actual.
And obviously things like the New World Order fit in really well with Bircher ideas. And so even as the Birchers, kind of their peak of popularity in the 70s started to drop off, they never went. They're still a thing today. The John Birch Society still exists to this day. Even though their numbers dropped, they weren't completely relegated to the sidelines. They were still there voicing these concerns, and they became really loud during COVID. So the John Birch Society gained a lot more traction questioning and being concerned with the COVID vaccine. I will say even prior to that, they also gained a lot of traction with the Affordable Care Act, because if Barack Obama is a communist, which of course they said he was, then anything he does must be communist, and the Affordable Care Act and universal health care must also be communist, which is a great way to turn American people against something that is absolutely in their best interest, right? The Affordable Care Act, the Medicaid expansion, the, you know, the idea of universal health care, the idea of single payer system, great ideas for the average American. But if you tell people that it's control, if you tell people that it's part of controlling you, the government will own all the health care, that's a great way to flip it around so that it scares them. Maybe it's a conspiracy. Maybe they control everything. RFK Jr. started questioning vaccines in the just following right along with the John Birch Society and many other. I mean, I'm not saying these are the first or these are the only. I'm not saying these are the only architects of the modern health freedom anti-vax movement. But certainly I would say that a lot of the political playbook that we watched MAGA follow, Trump and RFK Jr., it is the JBS playbook. They are just repeating their rhetoric from, you know, the 50s and 60s to this day. I mean, it's the same stuff they've been saying. So even after Andrew Wakefield came out, he said vaccines cause autism, and then his study was revoked. It was found that he faked research. He was completely discredited. He lost his license. Even after all that, RFK came out and said that vaccines cause autism. So, like, after we knew, after we knew that was all wrong— he helped with the World Mercury Project, specifically in 2007, to understand the dangers of mercury in vaccines. And that was what the false claim was. Mercury in vaccines caused autism. The World Mercury Project would eventually turn into the Children's Health Defense, which is the very prominent anti-vax lobbying organization that absolutely RFK Jr. has been affiliated with throughout his career. And absolutely, even though they are a charitable organization, they can't officially support him.
It's clear.
It's all, the link is all very clear. So, but beyond the concept of removing vaccine mandates and making you eat more meat, what else are they wanting? I mean, I think that's, as you find, you can find this direct line between the John Birch Society to RFK Jr. today. And everybody in between, all of the anti-vax stuff that was building in between. But why is it so important? Why is it so important? Where's the money, right? If it's going to be a political movement, there has to be money or power or something. A lot of it has to do with the fact that they want you to buy supplements. So if you really look into a lot of the health freedom advocates, what they're telling you is you don't need big government to put fluoride in your water and make you get vaccines. And also they're probably trying to control you in some way or make you sick. But you do need a number of health food supplements that aren't regulated by big pharma, because you can't trust big pharma, which that's a double-edged sword right there.
Because you can't.
I mean, you shouldn't, at least.
I mean, you shouldn't.
I mean, it's tough, right? Like
trust. You can't.
No, you can't trust Big Pharma.
I can trust
but
scientists. I can trust bodies of research. I can trust, you know, holistically arrived upon. I don't know. Trust Big Pharma is tough.
Well, that's the problem, right? They're playing on things. Some of them are true, right?
Right.
We've talked about this before. How complicated is it that the companies that made life-saving vaccines during the COVID pandemic are also some companies that, you know, produce drugs and take advantage of people with their price hikes on a regular basis? And
yeah,
how do you square it?
I mean, you don't. The solution is not start selling people a bunch of weird, unregulated supplements, certainly.
Well, that's the thing. So the health freedom movement, the John Birchers and everybody else who was involved with the health freedom movement through the years have pushed against the FDA regulating right. supplements and vitamins the same way they do drugs, right? So, like, instead, they are technically food. A vitamin or a supplement is regulated by the FDA as a food. And so they have way less strict rules on what kind of testing and how safe it has to be and how much of the thing you're selling actually has to be in the right. pill that you're saying has it. There is a Codex Alimentarius Commission, which is sort of the international commission that sets guidelines on food safety. Mm-hmm. And since then, since 2005, we have had very specific like labeling and stuff for vitamins and mineral supplements. But because they're regulated as foods, it's just not the same. And by the way, the John Birch Society completely opposes the idea of an international food commission. Did you know this existed, by the
no,
way?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. But why do we do that? Like, why do we regulate it differently? Because back in the 90s, when there was an effort to say, like, hey, guys, we're selling all these supplements, we're selling all these vitamins. Nobody knows what's in them. Nobody's watching them. They're, you know, they're just food. We should tighten this and make these drugs. These are medicines. These are drugs. We mm-hmm. should tighten them and say, no, we need to regulate them as drugs. There was this huge pushback from the health freedom movement saying, and especially like the health food companies and the supplement companies and the vitamin companies, they lobbied against it very strongly to say like, no, 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 because we need people to be able to have access. And this is just government overreach. The government's trying to take away your supplements because they know these work better than Big Pharma's drugs. And so we've got to push back against it, right? And they even had like, there was an advertisement with Mel Gibson, who was being arrested by FDA agents because he was taking vitamin C. Mel Gibson just consistently staying on the wrong side of history
there. Never misses an opportunity to be wrong about something.
And so then what Congress had to take action, right? So there's all of this argument. The FDA is saying, like, no, you can kill yourself with these things. If you take them wrong, we should regulate them.
Yeah.
And then there's all this advertisement against it. And so obviously Congress had to get involved. And in 1994, the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act was passed, which is still what stands to this day, which is why we market or why we regulate vitamins and supplements the way we do. And this was introduced by Orrin Hatch and Tom Harkin, so a bipartisan bill. But it is important to note that Orrin Hatch had received significant donations from Zango and Herbalife, MLMs mm-hmm. that sell dietary supplements.
Right.
Basically what they said, and this is, again, this is the result of the health freedom movement to and the supplement industry. Let us continue to sell these as foods, even though they are absolutely not foods. And then we are not responsible for what people do with these and what choices they're making.
Right.
And so all of this has kind of morphed into this weird concept of health freedom that we have today, which is why I say it like spans political boundaries. We've got this concern about big government overreach, which I really think is where like the John Birch Society comes into play. The idea that there's a deep state that's controlling everything. We've heard Trump mimic this, right? We've heard him say this stuff. The idea that when we're telling you what to do with your body, it's the government trying to control you, and it has to do with communism or socialism or whatever ism they want to blame. But on the other side, you've got all these like health food industries and supplement industries who had a vested interest in making sure that the stuff they sold was unregulated.
Mm-hmm.
And that represents a very different worldview, right? It's a much more like left worldview. And then that all gets mushed together into the modern health freedom movement, which says, I don't want the government telling me to get a vaccine, but also I'm going to drink raw milk because pasteurization is not necessary and it's better for my body. And also I'm going to eat all of this raw food because it's good for me. And that's a very like, you know, left kind of view. But then also maybe raw meat, because why does the government get to tell me that I don't get to eat raw meat if I want to? And like, it's a really, I don't know where we've arrived. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's this weird left, right, back to the middle.
There is, I think, if I'm trying to reason it out, I think there is a very alluring, it's very alluring, this idea that you're smarter than the system. And I think that there's a certain type of person who, they value their own intellect to an extent where they value it above consensus. They value it above society. They value it above reason, right? They value it above anything else because they think the power of their brain is such that should they arrive at something, it is objectively true because their brain has arrived at it. And they don't have what I think is sort of an essential thing that you need in life, which is kind of constantly questioning yourself, constantly thinking about what you, reevaluating what you believe, constantly trying to like realize that you don't know everything. You barely know anything. So it's probably good to like keep learning and keep your mind open and keep trusting people who have spent their whole lives trying to understand this thing.
Well, and that's what, I mean, really at the heart of it, what they're trying to say is just because you have science, it doesn't mean that the conclusions you've reached about health and well-being have any more merit than the conclusions I reached with my own sort of, whether it's faith-based or spiritual or just like stuff that I read that I think sounds true, that that all has equal merit and should be upheld by society and unregulated or regulated to the same extent. And so, I mean, I think when we go beyond vaccines, no dyes or preservatives or additives in our food, that is definitely part of the health freedom movement, which I wouldn't say is tied to like an ultra-conservative point of view per se. But that's definitely, I mean, here in West Virginia, we have banned dyes in our food. We're not going to, Mountain Dew is not going to be legal in West Virginia in a couple of years. That you can promote ideas that aren't based in science. Belief in anecdote is the same in the health freedom movement. If you saw it with your own eyes, if it worked for you, that's just as good as a pile of studies. Obviously, they believe that vaccines and toxins cause autism, and they're just determined to prove it. They still believe fluoride is a mind control drug. That's still part of the health freedom movement. The idea that SSRIs are, again, something that this conspiracy perpetuated by the government to control us and that we shouldn't use them for anything, that depression can be treated by exercise and diet. And I think state-sponsored work camps were part of RFK Jr.'s plan too.
Great.
Substance use disorder isn't real. It's a choice. Autism destroys lives. Obesity is the cause of all your problems, and it only results from poor food choices, and it can absolutely be cured by calories in, calories out kind of thinking. Mental illness is a product of generational laziness. All of this now is being accepted at the same level. I mean, that is what the health freedom movement says. Take this in the same way you would take what the CDC or the NIH or any accredited
and
medical
by the way,
body says.
Yeah.
Because it's all the same. And they have a solution for all of it. Walk it off, exercise more, eat less, eat protein, eat meat, take supplements, drink water, drink specific kinds of water, drink alkalinized water,
Drink, buy our stuff.
Buy our stuff, buy our grounding mats, buy our pills, buy whatever, you know, work more, want less, have children. I think that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Have healthy children, though. Have healthy children that fulfill the needs of society. Have healthy children that pay taxes, because we want you to do.
Yeah.
And by the way, this plays when we start talking about have healthy children that can pay taxes. There is always an undercurrent in these conversations that gets back to, and also, are they healthy white children? Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. And are they healthy straight children? There's, I mean, when people say this sounds a little eugenics, there's a reason, because it's all from the same playbook.
Right.
And I think that the John Birch Society rose to prominence and then kind of fell out of popularity for a while. When we start to see these movements arise again, it's because we went through a time of global uncertainty with the pandemic where we were terrified, where conspiracy theories really thrived. I mean, that's what we've seen in the MAGA movement, and then since COVID especially, the ground is really soft for that kind of thinking, to like that there must be something underneath it all. Surely this isn't random. There must be some big bad guy,
right,
big villain,
yeah,
that's causing it all, and we're going to find it out. And I think as I was reading through this, I was reading about commentary on the health freedom movement, and Paul Offit, who's a very famous pediatrician, research scientist, works at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, helped invent the rotavirus vaccine. And when they asked him why he thought that this happened, he said that in difficult events throughout history, people have tended to, quote, look for another reason, some unifying reason, other than just what it usually the reason, which is the random horribleness of life over which you have no control. Which I don't mean to end on a sad note, but I think that you can understand. I mean, I think, honestly, I agree with Dr. Offit, and I appreciate the bluntness. It is hard to accept that sometimes things just happen, and they're scary, and then we get through them and we move forward.
But you know what, Sid? Maybe we should accept that right now, you know? If we can accept that some things are just crappy and scary and we get through them and move forward, maybe this is just another thing, you know? We can't, on the one hand, accept that some things are crappy and then think that things will always be crappy. Because if you're going to embrace randomness, embrace that kind of chaos, then you've got to allow for the fact that things might get better. Right?
And not only might they, I would say they absolutely will.
This is the thing. I want to answer your question. This makes me feel better.
Does it make you feel better?
Because we've done it before. We've gotten through dark ages before, right? We have a globally connected source of information to combat a government that is actively trying to dissolve like medical knowledge. We have lots of resources where people can find out like and store true information and repositories of information. And I think that knowing if this is a disease caused by ignorance, I think that us being ignorant of it cannot be the cure, right? The only cure is sunlight. That's the only disinfectant, I think, in this case. And I think knowing how small and craven people like RFK Jr. and Trump are, and remembering that at the end of the day, they're just as weak-willed and scared as anybody else, just clamoring for any sort of recognition or power they can scrape together. I will also say, as somebody who has been the voice of history many times on this show, like, I've been sorry, pals. It's going to be a Justin McElroy in 100 years. Here's a sneak preview, okay? Justin McElroy Jr. is like, you're not going to believe this dumb guy. RFK Jr., he was called. And he was a big dum-dum. And we all realized that he was a craven idiot. And everybody fought. I got it. Newsflash, by the way. If you think you are a free thinker that is part of this organization, speaking as some, it may not be Sydney and I, but one of our kids is going to just peg you on that big old wheel of dum-dums, that big old wheel of people who think they're free thinkers but are really just snowed, the same as everybody putting leeches on themselves and worrying about their humors. I mean, you are just the latest sucker.
Mm-hmm. It's always so obvious when they're also trying to sell you a supplement for
at the same time.
Right? I will say it also brought me comfort. There's this song that I want to play before we finish, that I stumbled upon while I was researching the John Birch Society. It was a song called The John Birch Society by the Chad Mitchell Trio, who John Denver was a member of for a while, by the way, not at this point, but did a satirical, it's a takedown of the John Birch Society, basically just making fun of how silly and small and ridiculous they were at the time. And I think it's a great, and of a lot of the people who were on these like ridiculous communist hunts looking for all of the, you know, secret reds in media and whatever that they were going to find out.
We would include that. Maybe let's include that after the show. Maybe we can append that audio at the end so people can listen to it and play it now.
Yeah. But I think that hearing people at the time recognize this is ridiculous, it's the same thing that we need to recognize now and be open about. This is ridiculous. We've been here before.
And keep saying it. And I mean, I think that it's, you know, keep speaking it. Keep saying the true thing over and over and over again. First, May 3rd, if you can, if you're at all able, come to Huntington between 10 and 7 for the Harmony House Renaissance Fair. It's going to be at Harris Riverfront Park. There's going to be live Sawbones. There's going to be signings
with the Adventure Zone, and there's going to be a dunk tank, and there's going to be horses doing combat, and there's going to be people fighting, and there's going to be fortune telling, and it's going to be amazing. And you got to come check it totally out. If you go to bit.ly/HarmonyHouseRenFair with an E?
Yes.
Yes.
The fancy one with an E.
The fancy one with an E. Mm-hmm. Then you can get tickets for that. So I hope we'll see you there. Thanks to taxpayers for use of their song Medicines as the intro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. It's going to do it for us. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
Oh, we're meeting at the courthouse at 8 o'clock tonight. You just come in the door and take the first turn to the right. Be careful when you get there, we'd hate to be bereft, but we're taking down the names of everybody turning left. Oh, we're the John Birch Society, the John Birch Society, here to save our country from a communistic plot. Join the John Birch Society, help us fill the ranks. To get this movement started, we need lots of tools and cranks. Now there's no one that we're certain.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.